If a hacker targets your company today, you don't have hours to respond.
No, you don't even have minutes.
Right. You have exactly 3 seconds before your entire network is owned. So welcome to the deep dive.
Yeah, it's a terrifying thought.
It really is. And, whether you're prepping for a board meeting or you're just insanely curious about the invisible tech shaping our world, you need to understand that the old rules of the internet are just, well, they're dead.
They are completely dead. I mean, it is a total paradigm shift because for decades, cybersecurity was fundamentally a game of probabilities.
Right, like playing the odd.
Exactly. Defenders built these massive digital fortresses, firewalls, intrusion detection systems, and they basically crossed their fingers hoping to block, I don't know, about 80% of incoming threats based on known signatures.
Leaving that remaining 20% as this sort of manageable buffer, right? Like a margin of error where human analysts could, investigate alerts, sip their coffee, manually quarantine a suspicious file.
Yeah, the good old days.
Right. But today we're opening a really chilling, highly strategic June 2026 dossier from Taken Plus. It's titled Cybersecurity 2026: The Age of Zero Margin Warfare.
And that title is no exaggeration.
No, not at all. The thesis is brutal. It argues that thanks to AI, that margin of error and the human reaction time we used to rely on has been obliterated to absolute zero.
Which, I mean, brings us to the ultimate question this dossier poses. Is handing total security control over to machines our salvation, or is it our end?
Okay, let's unpack this, because to answer that, we really need to look at the core dilemma of AI as a foundational tech.
Right, what the intelligence community calls the dual-use paradox.
I want to focus on that, actually, because historically, cyber weapons didn't really have a dual use. Like, I mean, if we look at a classic example like Stuxnet,
Oh, yeah, the centrifuge attack.
right, the malware used to destroy physical centrifuges in a nuclear facility, that was essentially a highly specific, custom-built sniper rifle. It had one destructive purpose.
Yeah, couldn't do anything else. But what's fascinating here is that the massive large language models we see today, from Google, Microsoft, NVIDIA, they are completely neutral.
Neutral, right.
Yeah, that neutrality is the hinge of this entire crisis. Because these models are basically giant, highly capable reasoning engines. Their baseline function is just to process language and logic.
So you could ask one to, I don't know, identify software bugs or write clean, secure code for a hospital database?
Exactly. But because they're neutral, that exact same reasoning engine can be downloaded, slightly modified, and fine-tuned by a ransomware syndicate.
To do the exact opposite.
Right, to identify unpatched vulnerabilities and write custom exploits.
It sounds like we've basically published the blueprints for a nuclear reactor on the internet.
That's a great way to put it.
I mean, sure, you can use it to power a city, but you can also use it to build a bomb. But on the flip side, if we hide the blueprints, doesn't that just mean the bad guys will steal them anyway while we're left fumbling in the dark?
Well, that tension right there is tearing the open source community apart right now.
I bet.
Yeah, I mean, one camp argues that publicly releasing these powerful AI models is essentially distributing cyber weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
But the other camp argues exactly what you just pointed out. If we lock these models up behind corporate or, government walls, only state-sponsored hackers will have the resources to build them.
Leaving everyday defenders totally disarmed.
Completely. And the result of that debate has been a terrifying escalation over the last couple of years. The dossier lays out this really brutal timeline from 2024 to 2026.
Yeah, the timeline is wild. Like in 2024, the public emergence of jailbroken LLMs led to a staggering 500% increase in attacks by script kiddies.
Right, novices with absolutely zero coding skills.
500%. That's insane.
It is, because previously, launching a cyber attack required, deep knowledge of assembly language, networking protocols, exploit chaining. It was
You
hard.
had to really know your stuff.
Exactly. But suddenly, all you needed was the ability to type a text prompt. You could literally tell an AI, write a script that scans this IP range for open ports and deploys a ransomware payload.
So the volume of attacks just went completely through the roof. And the industry's response in 2025, according to the dossier, was to deploy SR 2.0.
Security orchestration, automation, and response platforms.
Right. Equipped with deep learning.
Yeah, because the sheer math forced their hand. I mean, human analysts couldn't read millions of logs a day to catch that 500% spike in novice attacks.
It's just not physically possible.
No. So organizations deployed AI to automate the tier one security work. The machine would just analyze the network traffic, identify those basic scripts, and block them automatically.
But the human cost of that was massive. The dossier mentions mass layoffs of Level 1 Security Operations Center personnel.
Yeah, the SOC teams got gutted.
Right. The junior analysts who used to manually hunt for that 20% of threats were essentially just automated out of the building.
Which, you know, brings up an immediate problem.
Yeah. Right. If you fired all the junior analysts in 2025 because AI was handling the simple stuff, who is watching the network when the attacks get more sophisticated?
Nobody.
Wow.
And that vacuum is exactly what triggered the agentic wars of 2026. Because we are no longer dealing with simple scripts generated by a text prompt.
Right, the game changed again.
Yeah, AI agents now conduct targeting and chained attacks autonomously. They don't need a human to hit enter anymore.
So how does that work?
Well, the attackers just set a high-level goal, like extort this financial institution, and the AI agent figures out all the steps to achieve it on its own.
So that old image of the hacker, you know, as a lone wolf in a black hoodie frantically typing green code in a dark basement.
Yeah.
That's totally dead.
Oh, it's a complete cinematic relic. Today's attacker functions way more like a software project manager.
A project manager. Wow.
Yeah, they just oversee portfolios of autonomous virtual threats. The dark web has completely mechanized into this, like, service economy.
Here's where it gets really interesting, looking at the tools. The dossier highlights things like Fraud GPT V4 and Worm GPT 2026, and they aren't even selling raw code anymore.
No, they're renting these out as cloud services. It's malware as a service.
That is wild.
I mean, complete with 247 customer support, user-friendly dashboards, performance metrics. It's run like a legitimate SaaS business.
And the mechanism powering these tools is what makes them so lethal, right? Because they use reinforcement learning.
Exactly. Think of it like a rat in a maze that gets a piece of cheese every time it finds a new path.
Okay.
These AI agents run millions of simulated attacks against digital replicas of firewall systems. And every time they find a combination of code that slips through, the algorithm rewards them.
So they learn through hyper-accelerated trial and error.
Yes. Allowing them to discover and exploit zero-day vulnerabilities in real time.
And that brings us to the psychological element, which honestly is where this gets genuinely terrifying.
Oh, the spear phishing.
Yes. The dossier explains how these generative AI agents are executing spear phishing attacks now. Because we all know the old phishing emails, right? Like terrible grammar, a weird request for gift cards from the CEO.
Right, the obvious ones.
But now AI agents are scraping a target's past tweets, their leaked emails from older breaches, their entire LinkedIn history.
They build a flawless psychological and linguistic profile.
Huh?
I mean, the AI knows what time the CEO usually sends emails, what sports team they complain about on Twitter, exactly how they format their signature.
But wait, companies spend millions on phishing training every year, right? They drill employees constantly. So you're telling employees to, you know, check the sender email or look for weird phrasing is completely useless now.
Pretty much.
How can that be?
Because you simply cannot train a human brain to spot a fake that is mathematically indistinguishable from the real thing.
Wow.
I mean, the data from the dossier shows this AI spear phishing boasts a 92% success rate on senior executives.
92%.
92. The email comes from a spoofed internal address. It references a real conversation that happened on Slack yesterday, and it uses the exact humor the boss uses.
Okay, so the employee clicks the link, and that's where that 3-second countdown begins.
Yes, and the infiltration speed is just beyond human comprehension, largely because the malware itself is intelligent.
Right, we are dealing with polymorphic malware now.
Exactly.
But let's explain that mechanism because it's so crucial for people to grasp. Polymorphic malware is essentially, well, think of it like a bank robber who changes their clothes, their face, and their getaway car every 3 seconds while running down the street.
That's a perfect analogy.
By the time the security cameras broadcast what the robber looks like, they are already disguised as someone else entirely.
And that is exactly how it functions on a binary level. You know, once the malware is inside the network, it mutates its own underlying code and digital signature.
So traditional antivirus software
works exactly like that security camera. It looks for a known face, a known list of bad code. But by the time the antivirus database updates, the malware has already recompiled itself.
And the dossier states it takes an average of just 3 seconds from the initial vulnerability discovery to the first successful network breach. 3 seconds to own a network.
It's terrifyingly fast.
And on top of that, the attackers are using AI to reverse engineer 60% of current security codes. They are actively using our own defensive logic against us.
Which completely breaks how organizations have historically defended themselves. I mean, if malware is mutating every 3 seconds, traditional annual or quarterly penetration testing.
Or you hire a good guy hacker to test your defenses once a year.
Right. That's just utterly meaningless now.
It's like trying to win a Formula One race by checking your rearview mirror once every lap. You're making decisions based on ancient history.
Exactly.
So how is the industry actually fighting back against this?
Well, the massive shift has been toward something called continuous asset monitoring. Instead of looking for known bad signatures, defenders are now using unsupervised machine learning algorithms.
Okay, let's break down unsupervised machine learning for a second. We aren't giving the AI a list of bad viruses to look for, right? We just plug it in and let it watch the network to map out what normal looks like.
Precisely. It's the exact opposite of the old antivirus model. The AI maps a multidimensional baseline. It learns, for example, that your laptop mostly talks to the local printer and the central email server between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Okay.
And it does this for literally everything, from the core database servers all the way down to a smart thermostat or an IoT sensor in a meeting room.
So if my laptop suddenly tries to send a gigabyte of encrypted data to an unknown server in another country at 4 a.m., the AI doesn't need to know what the virus is.
Nope.
It just knows the behavior statistically deviates from the baseline, and it just severs the connection.
And it does so at staggering speeds. I mean, we've gone from a mean time to respond of about 4 hours back in 2022 to less than 4 milliseconds today.
4 milliseconds?
Yeah. But achieving that speed required a massive architectural shift. They can't use cloud computing for this anymore.
Because of the physical latency, right?
Exactly. The physical time it takes for data to travel from an office building to a cloud server in Virginia and back, I mean, that might be 50 to 100 milliseconds.
Right, which sounds fast.
It sounds fast, but when the malware breaches the network in 3 seconds, waiting 50 milliseconds for the cloud to send permission to block it is a fatal delay.
So they have to move the brain into the building.
Yes.
The dossier talks about neural processing units, or NPUs, sitting right at the network edge.
Edge AI.
Right. Local hardware running these defensive AI agents that are autonomously rewriting firewall rules every 500 milliseconds.
Twice a second, just to stay alive against the mutating attacks.
But this raises a huge issue. Delegating that much immediate authority to a machine creates what the dossier calls the biggest boardroom debate of 2026.
The false positive problem.
Right. Because when you are defending at light speed, the system doesn't wait to send an email to the network administrator for approval.
No, it autonomously revokes encryption keys and isolates the network in fractions of a second.
I have to push back on the reality of that, though. Like, if we let a machine instantly quarantine a network because an employee downloaded a large file at 3 a.m., aren't we risking shutting down critical infrastructure?
That's a huge risk.
I mean, imagine an algorithm accidentally paralyzing a hospital's network because it misinterpreted an emergency patient data transfer as data exfiltration.
Yeah, that is the absolute nightmare scenario. And opponents of this autonomous defense, usually legal experts and CFOs, they argue that AI lacks context.
Right.
It doesn't understand human crises, life or death emergencies, sudden business pivots. It just sees math. It sees a deviation from the baseline.
But I'm guessing the tech executives argue the alternative is worse.
Oh, definitely. Their argument is that the human mind simply hasn't evolved to fight at the millisecond scale. I mean, if a sudden deviation is actually a ransomware variant that can encrypt your entire hospital database in 1 second, you do not have the luxury of waiting for a human to interpret the context.
That makes sense.
Right. A temporary accidental shutdown is survivable. A permanent data loss or extortion is not.
But building this infrastructure, I mean, these massive NPU hardware clusters sitting in the server room, the custom AI models running 24/7, none of this is free.
Not even close.
The dossier outlines a massive financial chasm here.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the economic reality of this cyber arms race is brutal. Maintaining an AI defense system capable of operating in that 4 millisecond arena costs an average of $2.5 million per year.
Wow.
And for most companies, making this transition requires a staggering 70% increase in their security budgets.
A 70% jump overnight. Most businesses simply can't absorb that.
And that creates a dangerous systemic inequality.
Mm.
The Fortune 500 companies, the massive banks, they can afford to build these local AI fortresses.
Right.
But small and medium enterprises, the SMEs, they are left out in the cold. They become incredibly easy prey.
Which totally changes the target map. Like, if I'm managing a ransomware syndicate, why would I burn my best zero-day exploits hitting a giant bank's $2.5 million AI shield directly.
You wouldn't.
I wouldn't. I would target the bank's small accounting contractor.
Yeah.
You know, the firm of 50 people who can't afford the edge NPUs. You breach the small guy in 3 seconds and then use their trusted vendor connection to slide right into the larger corporate supply chain.
And that is the defining international security challenge of our time right there. Supply chain attacks have effectively weaponized the economic disparity of cybersecurity.
So what does this all mean? We are caught in this impossible bind. We can't afford to be slow. We can't completely trust the machines not to accidentally shut off the life support. And most companies can't even afford the ticket to play.
Yeah, it's a mess.
So what is the actual solution here? How does the industry break this deadlock?
Well, the prevailing solution outlined in the 2026 dossier is what's called the Centaur model.
The Centaur model.
Yeah, it is the ultimate strategic compromise between humans and machines. Think of modern chess. A human collaborating with a computer can consistently defeat a solitary human, and crucially, they can often defeat a solitary supercomputer.
Okay.
Human-machine teaming is the winning architecture.
But how does that actually work in practice?
It operates on a three-step workflow. So step one is detection and initial containment. This is entirely machine-driven. The local NPU identifies an anomaly and blocks the threat in 4 milliseconds. Fast, ruthless, absolute.
Hold on, though. If step one is the machine blocking the threat in 4 milliseconds, isn't the human in step three just looking at history? Like, the action already happened. What is there left to decide?
Well, the machine makes the tactical decision to sever the immediate connection, but it doesn't make the strategic decision on how the organization responds globally.
Right.
That's where step two comes in, contextual analysis. The generative AI instantly writes a plain language summary of the incident for the human analyst. It explains, you know, I blocked this IP address because it attempted a rapid payload delivery matching this behavioral pattern.
Oh, so the machine does the translation, bridging the gap between raw binary data and human comprehension.
Exactly. Which leads to step three, strategic decision making. The human acting as a macro strategist reviews that summary. They understand the broader business context that the AI lacks.
Right.
If the human determines it's a real attack, they authorize broader defensive shifts, like updating global firewall policies across all branch offices or initiating a legal response.
And if it's a false positive, like that 3 a.m. emergency hospital transfer we talked about,
then the human overrides the block, restores the connection, and corrects the algorithm so it learns that specific context for the future. The machine handles the microsecond tactics. The human handles the overarching policy and strategy.
Wow. So those junior SOC analysts we talked about earlier, the ones who didn't get laid off back in 2025, they aren't staring at lines of raw code or boring server logs anymore.
Not at all.
They've essentially become cyber commanders.
That is the perfect way to visualize it. They are generals managing intelligent virtual troops.
Which brings us back to you listening right now. You know, whether you are running a global business or you just exist on the digital grid like the rest of us, the reality of the zero-day era means the margin of error is officially gone.
Completely gone.
Relying solely on human defense is a strategic error that will cost you everything in 3 seconds. But giving algorithms absolute unchecked authority is an irresponsible risk that could paralyze your life.
Right. At the end of the day, humans are still the ones setting the goals.
Yeah.
We define the parameters of what is acceptable and what isn't.
Exactly.
But, you know, that leaves us with one final, deeply unsettling thread to pull on from the dossier's conclusion. Well, we know that offensive AIs are using reinforcement learning to mutate their structure every 3 seconds to bypass defenses,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
And defensive AIs are autonomously rewriting their firewall rules every 500 milliseconds to block them.
Yeah.
So what happens when these two fully automated systems start learning exclusively from each other inside a company's network, looping millions of times an hour?
Oh, wow.
Could they eventually evolve a speed, a logic, and a language of warfare that their human macro strategists can no longer even comprehend?
That is a terrifying thought to leave on. Because, I mean, if the generals can't understand the language of their own troops, who is really in command? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the invisible battles happening in the microsecond margins of your digital lives. Because remember, it's no longer a game of probabilities. We are operating at absolute zero.